Thank you for plugging into this Family Life News podcast, streaming issues-driven, family-focused news. This is the Noon Report for Tuesday, January 18th, and since it's Tuesday, that means it's time for Inside Out with Kurt Goff. We do it every Tuesday during the Noon Report this month, this week, actually, Sanctity of Human Life Week. And today, Kurt, we are focused on a really tough topic, and that is post-abortive services in the church. How is the church doing at caring for women who've had abortions?
Every Sunday, the statistics show this to be true. Every Sunday in the auditoriums of America, in the pews of the churches, you look out there, there are many women who are in church who have dealt with an abortion in their past. And there are many guys as well. That's the reality of it. And yet, even though we know that, it still seems in so many ways, if you talk to these women who have chosen abortion, of course, we know there is forgiveness in Christ. We have to put that out there at the very beginning. Amen. Abortion is not the unforgivable sin. God can heal. God can forgive. But the question is, how do we minister to those who are dealing with the after effects that very often last a lifetime?
You told me that a lot of women who deal with this feel like it's the unpardonable sin.
Many churches decide that, you know, maybe we'll farm this out to the crisis pregnancy ministries, this post-abortion counseling type of thing. However, there are many women and men who say, okay, we have many groups, support groups for all kinds of issues. Why don't we have some groups to help us out as well?
And I talked to Jim Harden, who is the head of Compass Care, one of those crisis pregnancy centers in Rochester, New York, doing a great work. Mm-hmm. We can't say enough good things about Compass Care. In fact, we've got a couple of the news team out there today doing a story on Compass Care. But I talked to Jim about this issue. Does the church bear some blame here, some criticism for not having post-abortive services? Here's what he had to say.
I'm not sure that that's a fair criticism. I mean, the church is in the redemption business, and we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And abortion is just basically a woman's response to fear in a culture and a climate that sees abortion as a viable, morally viable solution. Now, the church does not see abortion as a morally viable solution based on the reality that the child in the womb is, in fact, a fully-fledged human being.
Yeah. I guess the critics will say, well, you've got drug and alcohol addiction services, you've got pornography services, you've got programs for how to make men better husbands, how to make women better wives, how to make families work better, financial help. But in this area of post-abortive services, a lot of women who've had abortions say, what about us?
Yeah, well, it's a very interesting dynamic. We have partnered with several churches in the past to provide post-abortion counseling to women and to men, for that matter. And it's a difficult line to walk because there's a lot of guilt and shame associated with abortion, and it's very difficult to get a woman to the point of actually admitting that she's had one to such a degree that she will be able to go seek help. It's also difficult to get her to the point of awareness such that she can say, you know, all these emotional sequelae, all this emotional kind of noise that I've been getting over the last several years after the abortion is actually related to the abortion itself.
Yeah, and there may be, and you raised it up front when I asked if this was a fair criticism, it may be the point where if you don't have a degree in counseling, you could maybe do more harm than good in trying to offer, no matter how well-intentioned, trying to offer some post-abortion services and counseling.
Well, I think to a certain degree you're right. Maybe a degree in counseling is a step too far, but certainly training. I mean, you have to be trained to understand and to see how abortion uniquely affects a woman's emotional and physical well-being, mm-hmm. So that you're not, you know, causing more pain and more damage than needs to be in order to get her on the road to healing.
That is Jim Harden with Compass Care in Rochester, New York, a pregnancy help center doing a great work in the Flower City. This week is Sanctity of Human Life Week, and our own Kurt Goff with Inside Out has been kind enough to join us and talk about this, maybe this issue that flies under the radar screen, shining the light on the church a little bit here. Could the church do more to reach out to these women?
That's a good point that he was talking about there. It is a complicated matter, even reaching out in compassion. This is a very sensitive place to be. Abby Johnson, she is featured on one of our Inside Out segments. Last week we had her on the air. She, if you don't know her story, in a nutshell, she was the manager of a Planned Parenthood in College Station, Texas. And she assisted in an ultrasound-guided abortion. In other words, she could see what was going on inside the womb. She saw just this terror. I mean, she was told that the babies cannot feel pain. What she saw there, it's in the podcast. You can find it, fln.org/insideout. Click on Unplanned. But let me just tell you this. It was a horrible thing. So bad, she walked out of the clinic and said, I am totally done with this. Now, when it comes to standing up for the rights of the unborn, she would go to the center all the time, and of course there would be protesters outside. But she began, oddly enough, as a volunteer in college. Mm-hmm. And one of her jobs was escorting women into the clinic on the day of their abortion.
When I first started volunteering, this is back in 2001, the scene out in front of the Planned Parenthood was very different than it is now.
How so?
It was very aggressive. It's a very hostile environment. You know, a guy out there in a Grim Reaper outfit, people out there with signs, you know, saying that these women were murderers. It was just a very aggressive environment. So these women were just trying. I mean, I felt very protective of the women because I thought, my gosh, this is terrible.
Yeah.
You know, nobody should have to endure this type of real harassment, and it was bad what they were having to go through.
A couple of points there. She would see these pro-life folks out there, the ones who were peaceful, praying for her. They would send her notes, and she would read them, Bible verses, etc. And she didn't disregard those things. But it was the folks dressed up in the costumes, screaming the things outside the clinic that she had an issue with. So what can we do? The thing that can really melt people's hearts is the power of God. And to be out there, to be peaceful, and just reach out in the name of Christ, prayer walking, these things are very effective from Abby's perspective. That's very interesting. Also, if you go to her website, unplannedthebook.com, you see a video clip there. She's got a message for churches. Just exactly what we're talking about here today, and that is we need to be speaking about this more from the pulpit, and we also need to make sure we do have some of these support groups. So she's very much for that. I think that's a very important camera angle on this because she's been there at ground zero.
And I really liked what she said, how pro-lifers' attitudes have changed as far as how they confront this ill in society.
Yeah.
In the fact that they're, what you were saying, the Grim Reaper costumes, these placards with these pictures on them. I was talking to Norma McCorvey, the Roe in Roe v. Wade, whose case is why abortion is legal. She told me what changed her mind. Now, this was a 16-year-old kid in Texas at the time, in Dallas. Mm-hmm. And what changed her from being adamantly pro-choice to being a spokesperson for the pro-life movement was the fact that those who were outside the clinic she went to were praying for her in love. That one of the organizers put his arm around her and told her how much he loved her and how much God loved her.
See,
and that melted her heart.
Exactly. That's exactly what Abby Johnson was talking about and how this really impacted her life.
Yeah.
So when she comes out and says churches, and she's a Christ follower, and she's forgiven, I mean, can you imagine confessing, I was a part of thousands of abortions. Can you imagine that?
Mm.
But the grace of God is big enough. And we never want to communicate that somehow, some way, abortion is the unforgivable sin. Yeah. And we don't mean to do that. But maybe if we don't have an outreach in some way, I'm just tossing this out here, maybe we communicate that by default. And as God leads, maybe we should be more proactive again, not just farming it out to the crisis pregnancy ministries, but reaching out to people where they are. And if they do want to talk, there's a safe place for them to be.
That's right. Thank you, Kurt, so much for your time today.